Welcome home. We are WNST, Towson, Baltimore. Baltimore Positive. I would love to show you my Fadley's crab cake. I'd love to show you the French fries. I'd love to show you the cucumber salad. The only thing I got to show you is about 10 ounces of what's left in my Coors Light here. We're at Fadley's. I'm having a Friday beer. It is getaway day for Luke Jones. Our friends at the Maryland Lottery have brought us down here with the Gold Rush Sevens Doublers. And I'm going to get some shrimp salad for the road. Our friends at Liberty Pure Solutions making our water crystal clear. And Jiffy Lube Multicare putting us out on the road. It's our last crab cake tour stop for the month. I will not be here 2 weeks from now. I'm doing some other things that weekend at the Padres event. Luke is about to head on vacation. And as we sit here on the eve of Yankees-Orioles weekend, people can listen to this next week. There's going to be an All-Star game, gun show on Monday night in Arlington, five Oriole All-Stars on Tuesday, maybe more by the time the weekend's over. And you're eating Max Pizza, hanging out at Wildwood. You do this trip a lot. Usually it's 4th of July. You go with your family. Your sister had a baby. You moved it a little later. And I know when you planned this, you thought, well, at least I'll get a couple of days when I get back.
Yeah.
Before, like, we go into – and the Orioles open in Arlington next weekend, so they don't even have to – they get to hang out. Football, dude.
Like, it's here.
It's
here.
It's here.
Yeah.
This weekend. Let's go.
Rookies report this weekend. Quarterbacks and what? Rehabbing players injured last year report, I think it's Monday or Tuesday. And then the 20th, veterans report.
Why so early? Because they had the first game?
Yeah, that's exactly what it is. And
this used to be the time when, like, because teams had five preseason games would
well,
go
and that's
now,
the
right?
thing. I think, and obviously we remember being in Canton for the Hall of Fame game. That was famously Lamar Jackson's first NFL game, albeit preseason, but It used to be the start of training camp was based off of when your first preseason game was, and now, and I never saw this officially, like, in any bylaws or anything like that, but it's based off of now when you start the season. So the Chiefs and the Ravens, and obviously the Hall of Fame game participants, they'll report a few days before the rest of the league, but we're here. I thought it would be, you know, July 24th, something like that, 25th, but July 21st.
It's before my mother's birthday. It's before my anniversary.
Yeah. Well, you know what it is? It kind of reminds you of old school. Go back to the late 90s where they would I remember famously Ravens Raiders at Memorial Stadium was September 1st, 1996.
Right.
They started like July 10th in training camp. I went back and found the old Baltimore Sun article talking about the Browns report. You know, the old Browns.
That's when that Martin Mull picture was taken.
Yeah.
That Martin Mull picture was taken. The first practice at Memorial Stadium in whatever, July, whatever.
Yeah.
It was on a Friday night. Hennessy and Bruce Stover went out there, and there's Martin Mull walking around. That was the first ever Raven practice.
Yeah.
John Ogden in Mean Machine gear.
but in recent years, we've kind of come to expect, like, you know, July 25th, 26th, 27th, depending on when the season starts. But it's a little bit earlier, and it's here. I mean, it really is here, and
you got real press notes, man.
Oh, yeah.
Chad doesn't give these to me anymore. I remember this. Look at that in color and everything. You got your – look at all these 99 names here. Who the hell are all these
guys? It is the 90-man roster.
You got to pronounce some of these guys' names.
Yeah. No, I do not have them all memorized. There was a time in my life where I would memorize the entire 90-man roster. Now I work smarter, not harder.
In the hopes of one Bobby Rainey. Is that
yeah,
what you're saying?
Exactly, exactly. So, but, you know, it's here. I think with the Orioles being as good as they are, and we saw this last year too, I don't think there's quite as much buzz as there normally is because there is such a long way, and you know that Lamar's not going to play and the starters aren't going to play in the preseason whatsoever. We've seen that become standard operating procedure over the last couple years, I guess since J.K. Dobbins tore up his knee. But it's time, and I think we're going to be talking a lot about the offensive line, as we talked about throughout the offseason. We're going to be talking about the pass rush. We're going to be talking about maybe a third safety. Jamal Adams just signed with the Titans, so he's off the market after the Ravens had visited with him in May. And I was never sure that was a great fit anyway, so I don't really have any.
There's a lot of late visits they do, and you never know when there's going to be a Kyle Van Noy
no doubt.
Fit. Well, I mean, even Clowney. And when they even happen, we're like, he's old, he's brittle. That's kind of how we looked at it when these guys get signed this time. Probably like you're saying with the relief pitching with the Orioles. They're gonna get somebody, you're going to be like, that guy, you know?
And he might pay some dividends because you just said it. I mean, there's always a mentality of, well, there's a reason why this guy's still available. He must not be that good anymore. And then we find out, and we saw this a year ago at this time. They were close to signing Arthur Merlett, who was like on the eve of reporting to training camp. He was a good slot corner to the point where they re-signed him this offseason. They brought in Ronald Darby. They brought in Jadeveon Clowney. And Kyle Van Noy was brought in, what, September 28th
or whatever it was. Yeah, I mean, impactful players for on a season where they hosted a championship game.
Exactly. Yeah. Now, I don't know if you're going to do that well bringing in late veteran types every year, but I fully expect at some point, you know, maybe not when we're reconvening to talk about the first 2 days of training camp in 2 weeks or a week and a half, but they're going to bring in a couple guys. I think we're going to see a safety at some point. There are enough safeties on the market. And I think the big wild card is the offensive line. How confident are you in the young guys as they're putting on the pads in late July and early August, and you're trying to kind of figure out what your best starting five combination is going to be? You know, we know that Tyler Linderbaum is going to be the center. We know that if he's healthy, and that's a colossal if, Ronnie Stanley is going to be the left tackle. Beyond that, I mean, we don't really know. You know, where does Patrick McCary potentially fit in there? I think ideally he remains your swing guy, but he might have to start at right tackle because they might say Rosengarten might need another 3-4 weeks of seasoning before he's ready to take over in week five.
You know, what do you expect to see from a guy like that? Because over the course of time, we've seen these third and fourth round guys, whether it's Andrews, Orlando Brown, guys that were drafted a little second day, thought of as that way. Second round guys, whether it's the Arthur Smiths, there's been a whole bunch of different, I could go back to years they didn't have first round picks and say we're expecting something from a second round guy. I want to say they've had so luck. I go back to Deron Jenkins with second round guys, right? But what you expect from him, it feels like they expect more from this guy because of the position. They've sort of built it up a little bit. It's really a position in need where they let Moses go.
Yeah.
They need him to play. They have a level of expectation for sort of a late second round pick that I haven't said, you know, 30 years into this, we haven't talked about late second round picks as that guy's got to be on the field right away. Feels like this guy's has a little bit more of that pressure built in.
Yeah, I think that's fair, and that's where I'm still not ready to just sign off on that, right? And look, I don't dislike him as a prospect. I don't dislike him as a guy that starting, you know, even the second half of the season, let's say. And Orlando Brown was a great example of that. He was a third-round pick. He didn't start week one, but he started fairly early in his rookie season. I think it was week six, week seven, and by the end of the year, he was firmly established at right tackle. So that's the exception, right? I think we're always quick to point out the exceptions. And I think with the draft, you tend to, as much as you love your evaluation process and as much as the Ravens have drafted as well as, if not better than just about any team out there for their entire existence, that doesn't mean you're going to be perfect. You're not going to bat 1,000. And even some of these guys we talk about, generally speaking, when you're getting in the second, third, and certainly later than that, you know, those aren't guys that you're expecting to play right away. I mean,
well,
that's just not
intended.
Well, I mean,
Owa is a great example of a guy. I mean, go back through their twos over the last 5 to 10 years and say how impactful have they been, how quickly were they impactful, if they were impactful at all in that case, and just the mean of the league of, you know, those 30 guys that are the next 30 guys, how quickly, historically, any of them can get to the field and be a player, let alone a plus player or a Pro Bowl player at the age of 22 or 23. There's not a lot of precedent for that. That's why I'm like, you get excited about the second round pick. I am from Missouri when it comes to that, historically.
Yeah, well, and you can be excited about it, but realistic range of expectations. That's where I
against
said.
Against the Chiefs on opening
That's
night.
Where I said Patrick McCary might need to start the first month of the season. And, you know, you see Rosengarten has all of training camp and has the month of September, and maybe he's ready. And look, he might be ready.
My wife
one.
Took one look at him and said, he looks like he's 12.
I mean, he's got good feet. I think from an athleticism standpoint, he does fit the mold of where they're trying to go. I think, don't get me wrong, they're not trying to get small on the offensive line, but I think they are looking for a little more athleticism, a little more zone blocking than so much of the power stuff they ran under Roman. I think we saw that transition start this past year, and I think it's going to continue.
And that's part of moving
Tom
away
Lincoln.
From Zeitler and Moses.
And that's the thing. They're old, you know, guys that had injury concerns. I mean, look, I still wonder if moving on from both of them will ultimately be a wise decision. I still have some skepticism about that. And you know what? I'm guessing privately, Eric DaCosta and John Harbaugh would still say, we're going to have to see.
Leap of faith.
But this
leap
also,
of faith.
But this also goes back to the old Ozzie Newsome mantra. It's better to get rid of a guy a year early than a year too late. And I think that's what they're
They've also had
kind of betting on right now.
Situations where wherever Ben Cleveland is right now, they've had the Ryan Jensens, the Ricky Wagner. They've had guys find themselves in that second, third, fourth year where they make a market improvement.
Yeah.
In addition to every Kyle Hamilton who just come out of the box looking like, you know, they got it. Linemen are different in that way.
Yeah, and that's that again is where I take a little bit of pause with Rosengarten, just because it's how quickly can he develop? I mean, look, Joe D'Alessandris, their offensive line coach, they've developed some late-round guys into being, you know, Matt Scurro, a longtime friend who came out and did many live shows with us over the years. Oh, well, he was an undrafted guy. You know, he was on the practice squad and made himself.
Well, look at McCary.
Yeah. Right, I mean, McCary, undrafted. Yeah. I mean, a guy who, by the way, is in a contract year, and if he ends up having to play because of injury or because some of these, you know, he might parlay that into having some interest on the market where the Ravens might have to make an interesting decision on him because he's been so valuable as a guy who can play left tackle, right guard, center.
You know, I'm going to call him from now on to honor you. He's going to be the bullpen of offensive lineman. You know, he's going to be the bullpen guy.
I mean, he's been so valuable. I mean, what, I guess it was late in 21 – 20 or 21? I guess 21, yeah. He was going to be a restricted free agent, and they signed him to, what, a three-year, $15 million-ish kind of deal. You know, $5 million a year, you'd say, at face value, well, that's kind of rich for a reserve, but look how many games he started. Look how many times he's had to spell Ronnie Stanley or Morgan Moses, or he's played center for this team. I mean, it's, you know, he's a valuable player. So point is, going back to the youth, though, I mean, how quickly – can Joe D'Alessandris bring some of these guys up to speed? I mean, I think, you know, we've talked about Rosengarten. Let's shift and talk about Andrew Voorhees, who they drafted in the seventh round last year. He was the kid who, of course, who tore his ACL at the combine, was probably going to be a third or fourth round pick from some team, but tears his ACL. You draft him, you say, hey, it's going to be a redshirt year. He's going to be in the building. He's going to rehab. He's going to learn. But he doesn't get on the field until this past, you know, this spring. But I think there are serious expectations that I think that they're optimistic he's going to be their left guard. Now, he played a lot in college. You know, he's a multi-year starter at USC. Older guy as well, and I think that's relevant in both projecting his ceiling but also maybe talking about in terms of how quickly he can get on the field, which they need. You know, I mean, at some point in time, these guys are going to have to play. You know, you could talk about your offensive line and I love this young guy, and this young guy can play here. That sounds great in March and April, but come September, it's real. So there's some unknown there, but it's where you mentioned Ben Cleveland. I mean, it's go time, man. This is your chance. You've kind of been talked about at this point in the offseason three straight years.
And there's been an opportunity there.
There is absolutely, and he just hasn't. Man. So that's where you look at it, and look, when he's filled in, I mean, he filled in for Kevin Zeitler. I think he made three starts for Zeitler over the last 2 years. Go back and look at those games. He played well, but he has not been a good practice player. And he's been a guy who's gotten nicked up in practice. John Harbaugh has talked about this for years, specifically with the offensive line. Time on task. Getting those reps. I mean, it's such a rep position. More so than maybe any other position on the football field. It's just reps and reps and reps for offensive linemen. And he missed a lot of that his first couple years. Now, to his credit, he stayed much healthier last year. And I think he made some improvement, but I alluded to this in some of my 12 Ravens thoughts back in the spring at BaltimorePositive.com, and I'll say it. I'm not convinced that he's going to be their starting right guard. He's got to earn it. I mean, he really does, and I just get the sense that he's not a guy that they love as far as how he looks in practice. And I'm not saying that's everything, but at the same time, when you have so many new pieces on that offensive line and so many moving parts, it's like, dude, it's time. I mean,
it's
this
a
is
matter
your contract
of trust
year.
For them, who they're
sure.
going to trust, right?
Absolutely, absolutely. So that's where these young guys, it is so much of an unknown, and that's where I'll still say, and I don't, off the top of my head, I don't know who that name is right now. In fact, it might be someone that is playing on an expiring contract somewhere, and they drafted an O-lineman that they're ready to hand the reins to and save $4 million in the process on the cap or whatever it is, that it might be that, hey, come August 23rd, if you're kind of uneasy about your right tackle position or one of your guard spots and someone goes, heaven forbid, someone goes down with a knee injury and they're out of the conversation, I wouldn't be shocked to see Eric DaCosta, you know, a trade that you know, you swap fourth-round picks and add a sixth, and you bring in someone's, you know, a high-floor, you know, John Simpson kind of guy that, you know, that can start for you for a year and play okay for you. So, I mean, that's the big spot. And I can just tell you from experience of having done this now as long as I've done it, it really isn't until about the second or third week of August where
this is where I was going to ask you about this.
So
you have all this ramp-up time. I'm going to bring Leonard Raskin on in a couple minutes. But last thing for you and me before I let you go to the ballpark and get Leonard over to
pepper you with football questions.
he's Delaware Beach guy. You're a Jersey Beach guy. The cadence of these 5 or 6 weeks, the early start, getting ready to play on the Thursday night in the biggest game of the biggest game and on the road, like all that stuff. The scheduling of this, the fact that the Eagles would come down here and fight with them, or the Rams would come in and fight with them, the Jaguars are coming. Like,
they're going to go to Green Bay.
They're doing Green Bay. Everybody, because I was – now you've said it, I remember that.
Yeah.
Give me the next 6 weeks for the Ravens in regard to cadence and these dumb preseason games that they have found a way to take crap and devalue it even more. Like, they've made it even –
yeah,
less interesting from the perspective of us watching it, thinking we're going to see something, thinking Lamar's going to be in shoulder pads, like any of that, right?
Or if you want to see, if you even want to see Lamar in shoulder pads in the preseason,
I'm not saying we do. I'm just saying what
it's changed.
You're going to watch, and all the cadence of this has changed, and this Green Bay thing and this shared team thing, they probably get a whole lot more done doing that than they do anything regarding the tickets they sell.
Yeah, I think, first of all, what I've noticed the last couple years, and this has been baked in with the more recent CBAs, they definitely ramp up a little bit more. You know, you don't see as much hitting. You certainly don't see it the first few days. I mean, they even have a ramp-up period, and it's not until, what, day 4 or 5 that they can even put on the pads and start hitting. Even when they do, I couldn't tell you, Nestor, other than maybe third-team rookie guys during practice, couldn't tell you the last time I saw them go live to the ground in practice. I mean, you just do not see that anymore. Whether that's good or not, you know, whether that affects early season tackling form or not, that's up for debate, but it's just the
it's
nature
how they
of
do
where it.
It
is right now. Just like we talk about that with the pitching in Major League
Baseball.
Well,
it's how they manage the risk of their assets, right?
But I think, obviously, they're starting earlier. You know, you have 3 preseason games. They play, Atlanta? Is that the second one? I'm trying to think off the top of my head.
I'm going through them.
You could... The fact that I don't have the preseason game schedule memorized shows you what it's worth.
It's just like the movie Meatballs. It just doesn't matter.
Yeah.
It just doesn't matter.
Those two games, you know, those first two games, there is some value, especially with the offensive line and the young guys.
Philadelphia on the 9th.
It's Atlanta then, right?
Yeah, and then...
Atlanta noon start because the Orioles play the Red Sox that night.
And the Packers is August 24th.
Yeah, so...
There you go.
So in Green Bay then, they will fly out to Green Bay a couple days early, and they're going to... I think it's at least 1, if not 2 days of joint practices.
And I know we're going to have fans that fly to Green Bay for the preseason game. I know that.
Yeah.
I know that's going to happen.
Well, I mean, hey, if you want to see Lambeau Field, but if you want to see any of the actual players, then yeah, that's not that...
On the cheap. Yeah, absolutely.
But, you know, those joint practices in recent years, those have become the preseason games for the veterans. I mean, it's a controlled environment. They can manage the reps. They're not tackling to the ground necessarily. I mean, they'll thud. You know, they'll hit. You know, they'll play to wrapping a guy up and then you stop.
But John Harbaugh can't win that one.
But, yeah. Well, he can't. He can't. But at the same time, I think you've found in recent years that's where the veterans can get in some meaningful work. And then it's not the scenario of what happened with – the Ravens with the Commanders a couple years ago when, you know, J.K. Dobbins tears up his knee, right? I mean, you're not dealing with that, hopefully. So, you know, they've got a lot of time. I think, you know, it's certainly an interesting season. I mean, I wrote it at BaltimorePositive.com the other day. I mean, there is no doubt at this point that it's Super Bowl or bust for this team. So how do you handle that? I have high expectations for this football team, as I always do if Lamar Jackson's healthy, but... You know, at some point, you got to break through. And we've been talking about this for year after year after year. And, you know, I think there is a mental challenge to that. Not that I think that they're going to falter because of it, but I think there's a challenge to the grind of the memory of Kansas City. I mean, these guys talked about it in OTAs a ton that, you know, Lamar said he was just getting over it at that point because he was back with his guys. Zay Flowers said he still wasn't over it. Kyle Hamilton made the point of, you know, we're going to have a chance to make amends. You know, we've got to do that.
John Harbaugh sat with me in Indianapolis 12 years ago after Cundiff and said, I'll never get over it.
But think about this, though. We are only in mid-July. We have August, September, October, November, December. Mid-January is when the playoffs start.
That's when it matters.
The AFC Championship game is the very end of January. That's a long time, even from now, to one, you got to win.
They're watching it rain at Lexington Market, waiting for the Yankees to come. I can't think about preseason football.
We're not, but you know the Ravens are, because again, it's
Raskin's
all about the
got
Super Bowl.
His purple shirt on.
Yeah, he's
ready. Old deal,
purple
man.
Friday.
Leonard Raskin.
We
is
can
here.
Multitask
Raskin
Friday.
We are here on behalf of the Maryland Lottery, our friends. We have the Gold Rush Sevens Double. I did have a $2 winner right over your shoulder there. I'm giving these away. Leonard, you get one for you. I feel like Oprah. One for you. Luke Jones, of course, here as well. Absolutely,
you get
a freebie. You get a ticket. I wanted to put you, first of all, I wasn't sure you guys had met. Then I realized I threw
Christmas
a
party.
Holiday
absolutely,
party last year.
Absolutely.
But more than that, like, I figured you love the football thing much. You got any, do you have any questions for Luke on football?
Oh, he's going to put me on the spot.
It's football related. You got anything, or are you good?
Who's starting on the right side of the offensive
line?
Yeah,
we've been talking about
it. I'm sure you've been talking about it. I haven't been here.
I think John Harbaugh and Eric DaCosta want to know that right now.
No, I mean, it's why we play the training
We've talked about it. I mean, there are compelling candidates, but I mean, they're unproven.
That's right.
Right. I mean, even Ben Cleveland, it's like we're basing this off of filling in for Kevin Zeitler, I think, 3 games over the last 2 years. You know, and he played well, but he also has never seized a starting job in practice.
Right.
And I think there's a reason for that.
We got the king back there.
Yeah, so I
mean, is he going to be able to do the Lamar fake thing?
You have no idea that I've been flirting with Luke the last 3 weeks on eBay trying to buy a number 22.
He wants a Derrick Henry Oilers jersey.
Derrick Henry Oilers jersey.
There you go.
I get one right now for about $40 with a little defect in it. I don't know. But I opted for, and I sent Dennis Colazzos a text on this the other day, because you know of my affinity for Earl Campbell.
Yeah, sure.
I've been waiting to get an Earl Campbell jersey, and I found this 1990s sweater, long sleeve, Campbell throwback, authentic Mitchell and Ness kind of like thing with the stitched on 34 and the Campbell on the back and the blue. It has an Oiler Derrick on each shoulder.
Nice.
So I spent $42 on that instead of spending $40 on the.
There you go.
You know, the Derrick Henry thing. I mean, that to me, and Leonard, you know that I'm a Derrick Henry guy. And you and I go nose to nose on this, because for years I've said at the trading deadline, they want to win the Super Bowl, they go get Derrick Henry. And he's been like, they don't need to spend that much money on a running. So that's part of our
deal.
You just
have to remember
now
how
that they
to run.
Actually have to do it. Like,
this is it.
I'm not going to praise Eric DaCosta for too much on a personal level, certainly not on an integrity level, but he got my guy.
You know
what I mean? This is my guy. So I like that.
Hey, look, as you said, we've got to wait all the way through January for this to matter. Nothing matters until the playoffs, until they don't do 21 straight passing plays in the championship game when they're a running team with Derrick Henry in the background, in the backfield.
But it's what I said to you. Look, I think Derrick Henry is going to be very successful and have a good statistical season. I've never disputed that, but he can run for 1,500 yards and lead the NFL in rushing and all that, but if it doesn't move the needle in January,
you know what?
Doesn't matter.
You can even win the MVP. Not, you can win it twice.
Yep.
And when you don't win playoff games,
your legacy is still incomplete.
Absolutely.
I mean, look, Lamar. I had to. Since we brought up Lamar.
Dan Marino.
Oh, here we go. Now
Dan
we're going
Marino.
To Lamar thing. Here we go.
Did anyone see the ESPY Awards?
I did. Nobody watched the ESPY Awards.
Okay, so I have a question.
Play of the year?
Let's start with. Yeah, that's ridiculous.
I could give you 10 Lamar
that
plays from last
ridiculous.
Year alone that was better than that.
That was silly.
That was weird.
What did they, I don't know what they did.
The pass that
the
he caught
that
himself.
He caught in that the playoffs and ran for like 15
that
yards.
That was ESPN's play of the year.
Play
first of all,
the
Alabama Hail Mary should have been the play before
clearly,
that.
Clearly.
But
my question is this. I'm going to back up even further.
Yeah.
Aren't the ESPYs supposed to be on the day after the All-Star game?
I didn't even know they were airing last night. Yeah.
So that when there's no sports on TV, that was the point. There's no baseball, basketball, football, nothing. The day after the All-Star game is the ESPYs.
Yeah.
Suddenly it was on last night.
I had no idea.
I'm going to say something really, really disrespectful, something that may shock Leonard. Maybe not, because you know me a little bit. I cannot think of the last time I watched ESPN. And I did watch the Sunday Night Baseball too. It was awful. The broadcast
I missed
was
John Miller
awful.
And Joe Morgan.
Oh, how great
and,
were they?
And like, I don't know. There's nothing.
Baseball Tonight for the hour leading into
not
it.
Not even oh, Sage right. Steele oh. coming back to ESPN would bring me. But I haven't watched ESPN as an entity, you know, maybe an NBA game it's on or something, like you see it or whatever, but like sitting and taking ESPN seriously,
yeah,
it's still my choice on Sunday. Now that they've thrown me out, I sit around every weekend like everybody else and watch the pregame shows. It's the place I go, waiting for Susie Colbert, waiting for Chris Berman, waiting for Tom. And I get Rex Ryan being a loudmouth. I get Teddy Bruschi not being very good. I get Hasselbeck that was good, and they get rid of him. And I don't get the ESPN thing, you know, for me. Like,
they're going for a different audience.
Oh, the talking head culture that
changed,
you have
totally,
now.
Totally changed.
Yeah. I watch
totally
ESPN changed. Plenty for games, game
yeah, I
podcasts,
watch the games.
But yeah, as
and,
far
and,
as
know, I'll tell you
their
what.
Morning lineup,
but that's
and everything.
What I'm saying. Yeah. I wouldn't know when the ESPYs is because I haven't seen a
promotion. I didn't either,
but
it's always
it was always All Star break
after
yeah.
All Star.
Yeah, it was strange.
And somehow it was on during games. There were games on last night.
The president was speaking too. So the
president was on. There were games on, and suddenly I'm flipping through my Facebook feed, saying, okay, what are the talking pundits of the world saying about Biden while he's talking, and suddenly I see Lamar
Jackson, won an ESPY, best play
of
the year.
The only story
and
I have.
Just such a bad choice.
And I'm gonna leave you with this because Luke's going to be going now. Luke's heading down to Wildwood. He's out of here for a week. About 20 years ago, about 20 years ago, one of my interns, before you were around, came and said, hey, do we want to cover the ESPYs? And one of the young people, I'm like, kid, if you get a credential, he said, I'm going to be in wherever it was, New York, wherever. He said, can I cover it for WNST? And I was just trying to be a good guy as like the boss. And I'm like, well, I'm a long way from this with the Whistler and Chad Steele at this point. But I'm like, we're WNST. Of course, they'll give us a credential to try. I mean,
right.
So the kid got a credential and he came back and the only thing he had was a picture of him and Carrie Russell, the actress who I've had a crush on since she was 14.
I was just going to say, so the trip was worth it, is
what
you're saying.
So what I'm saying is...
So you're saying we have a chance.
I have never wanted to go to the ESPYs or thought about going to the ESPYs until the kid that interned came back with a picture from Carrie. So, that's the only reason I would go to the ESPYs.
So my wife is a Today Show girl. She loves the Today Show.
So does my wife, yes.
And so every day, you know, when I get up and if I'm working at home, it's on. If I'm leaving for the office, it's on. What I saw was the big talk of the ESPYs was Serena Williams wore like 25 outfits in 4 hours.
Oh, did she really? Well, there was a picture of her and Lamar. I saw that.
I did see that.
It was the big thing was that she changed outfits so many times.
Well,
I'm thinking, that's the ESPYs? Okay.
Lamar looked fresh, and I know this because the Ravens social media told me that. Leonard Raskin is here, Raskin Global. Luke Jones always looks fresh in his freshly minted Baltimore Positive gear. We're fresh here with the Gold Rush Sevens Doublers. We're at Fately's in the new Lexington Market. You haven't been here yet, right?
I have not. This is my first.
It feels like it's been here a million years.
This is beautiful.
Right?
This is absolutely
beautiful. So Danny sent
beautiful.
Some crab cakes out. We had Pete Caldera here singing show tunes, doing Yankees. Luke is on vacation. He'll be in Wildwood. He'll be 10 pounds fatter on pizza by the time he gets back next week. At least I hope you are. Have a good time.
Thank you.
I would tell you, don't watch wrestling. Don't watch baseball. Don't worry about the Ravens.
Well, there won't be baseball next week other than the All-Star game.
Right.
Turn
the home
your
run
phone
derby.
Off.
Home run derby.
Put some SPF 50 on and go down there and have a good time with your nieces and your sister. Luke Jones, he covers all of it for us. He's at Baltimore Luke. Leonard Raskin's going to hang around. I think Damie's going to come out. We're going to talk about crabs and crab cakes. Leonard, what Leonard's got on his mind here about the All-Star break or whatever, but we are going to have some crab cakes because this is the Maryland Crab Cake Tour. Back for more Lexington Market at Fately's. All of it brought to you by the Maryland Lottery, your friends at Jiffy Lube MultiCare and Liberty Pure Solutions. Keeping it fresh. Stay with us. It's All-Star Game Week.